From its massive trade surplus with the United States to its funding of America's ballooning deficit, China's economy has become increasingly intertwined with our own. Now, this wouldn't be possible without the extraordinary thrift of ordinary Chinese, who save about half of what they earn. But as NPR's Anthony Kuhn reports from Beijing, this frugality can cause its own problems for China's economy.
In northeast Beijing, 58-year-old Dong Yiyuan is making a deposit at a post office, which also functions as a savings bank. She's depositing the equivalent of $120. That's roughly a month's pension for Dong, an ethnic Manchu woman who retired a few years ago from her job at a semiconductor plant. Back home, Dong makes tea for visitors. She explains that, like other people of her generation, her spending and savings habits were formed during the 1960s and 70s, an era when food and material goods were scarce and nothing of use was wasted or discarded.
In those days, we needed a little booklet of ration stamps to buy everything from beanstalk noodles and sesame paste to soap and detergent. The amount was limited. We didn't even see peanuts or melon seeds, except on holidays.
China's society is aging faster than the government can build social security and health insurance systems. As for Mrs. Dong, she started saving a third or more of her income when she opened her first bank account decades ago. She sees no reason to change her financial habits now, and she has no interest in credit cards, loans, or insurance.
I won't buy things on credit. If I were to borrow money and spend what I hadn't already earned, I'd be nervous. I'd always be thinking about what I owe people. If I have extra money, I save it. If not, I just get by as is.
China's high savings rate allows a high investment rate. This helps Chinese factories churn out more goods for the U.S. market. It also enables China's central bank to buy U.S. dollars at the rate of some $20 billion a month. This, in turn, keeps U.S. interest rates low, allowing Americans to borrow and consume more than they earn or produce. But economists warn that it's risky for China to produce so much more than it can consume. Tang Min, the chief economist in Beijing for the Asian Development Bank, notes that China's state banks are doing a poor job of allocating the money from savers' nest eggs.
But with 45% GDP investment, China created 9.5% GDP growth. Similar country like India, a saving rate or investment rate around 24-25%, that created 7% growth. So you can see the efficiency in China is quite low.
Tang says that the government could boost consumer spending if it invested less in often unprofitable factories and more on health, education, and reducing poverty. He adds that the answer to the savings rate problem lies partly in future generations of Chinese. Dong Yiyuan and her niece, Chen Wen, go to pick up Chen's daughter from school. Chen is 29 and works in retail sales. As her daughter makes paper cutouts, Chen explains that her financial behavior is very different from that of her aunt. I have some savings, but when I have to spend, I may use it all at once. I don't really save money. Chen wears a black fleece vest and carries a folding silver cell phone. Her wallet bulges with credit cards. She says she was recently confident enough about her economic future to shorten the term of her mortgage from 15 years to 11. Eventually, Ms. Chen and people like her will transform China from the world's factory into the world's marketplace. But economists say it could take years or even decades. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, Beijing.